Hey everyone, this is Paul Siegel, and you're listening to Wandering DMs. Wandering DMs comes to you live every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and you can catch us on twitch.tv/wanderingdms or youtube.com/wanderingdms/live. And now, on with the show.
Hi everyone, welcome to Wandering DMs, and may the 4th be with you! I'm Paul.
And I'm Dan, and today on Wandering DMs, we have very special guest, Mr. R. Alex Murray, who's one of the cast members of 20 Sided Tavern, a live theater D&D show currently off Broadway here in New York City. We want to find out from him the difference between playing D&D with friends and performing D&D for a live audience of hundreds. All that and more today on Wandering DMs.
Hey everyone, before we get into it, I'll remind you as always that at the end of the show, we will have our after party chat. That is a live chat that Dan and I host live on our Discord server, and you can join in. Check it out, patreon.com/wanderingdms. Join any tier and join us in after the show.
Love our patrons who are there. Thanks to Backwius for checking in. We're currently live on Twitch, YouTube, and Restream. So thanks for that. So, Alex, you are currently one of the cast members at, thank you so much for making time today. And I'll point out that Alex is joining us from the dressing room at Stage 42 before a matinee this afternoon. So we really appreciate you sneaking in the hour here for us.
Yeah, thanks. So I'm happy to be here. Listen, I'm a swing today, so I'm just backstage hanging out. I just heard the 20-minute call. There's a non-zero chance that like some idiot just like comes into this room, even though there's a big sign that says "Don't come into this room, idiots." And you know, just sticks their head in and says, "Hey." Yeah, so it's fun to be just back here. I'm swinging, so I would be. Sitting on a beanbag and hoping no one trips and hurts themselves for most of the afternoon. So happy to be chatting with you guys.
Amazing. So for our viewers that just don't know at all what 20 Sided Tavern is, just tell us what is that? Is that like a game you have at home? What are you doing there, Alex?
Well, it's definitely not a game you have at home. It's a game you have to come play with us. So, I think the elevator pitch for the show is it's an interactive Dungeons and Dragons that you play in a room with 500 of your closest friends, right? You come in, you scan a QR code that I know we're all sick of QR codes, but this one's a good one. And it gets you to like just a browser based software that we use called Gameiotix. And five actors on stage are going to have a Dungeons and Dragons adventure. We roll dice on dice cameras that you can see, and we have combat, and we role play, and we seduce, and we murder, and we, performance check, and all of the things. And along the way, the audience helps us by we have some mini games in the phone that you'll do tapping games or trivia questions to boost rolls. And you decide, in combat, we offer options of things we could do, and then the audience decides, which one they want, right? So you get a lot of, narrative-heavy play from the vibe of the room. It is very much like we are at a gigantic Dungeons & Dragons table. We also get all of our NPC names from the audience, which can get bonkers. Sometimes every single NPC that you meet is named Bill. Waterdeep is just full of Bills. And sometimes they decide that it's going to be an IP theft day. And so we're wandering through Waterdeep having an adventure. And oh, here you are, Darth Vader, the proprietor of this spice shop. Hey, can we have a magical item to stop a world ending horror, please? Darth Vader, we need your help. I guess that's Obi-Wan Kenobi, but anyway, we're just playing a big dumb game together, and I gotta tell you, there are a couple things about it. Like, dice rolls in a room that large. Last night we rolled 6 nat 20s in a row.
What?
On camera during final combat with the big bad evil guy, and Someone rolled, and then we had two nat 20s in a row for initiative, and the room was going nuts. It was just one of those things. You guys ever have a moment where you're just holding a dice and you're like, I'm about to roll a 20, and you just chuck it and it pops up and you're like, yeah, for sure. We had then three of those in a row, like just teed off on the bad guy.
I can't say I've never been assured of a dice roll in my life.
It's when you feel, man, you feel it, man. The vibes are really, really high in a room with like that many people. With like, there's just something like it's half church and half Dungeons and Dragons and half a rock concert, and you're just like, you just know. It's like not you anymore. You're like, I'm connected to something higher, and you just go boom, and like, you know, 500 people leap to their feet and just lose their minds because it is group murder gambling, which is very strange.
Boy, do we all hope as
a group that we get to kill this guy real good.
Okay, so I'll briefly say that as someone that normally is the DM and runs the bad guy, I'm fairly accustomed to feeling like it's time for me to roll a natural one. And that actually happened last Sunday with a game that we were running. And I'm like, it's time for the bad guy to make the save. Natural one, game over. Yep, that's about what I'm accustomed to.
Yep. There it is. I will say that Stomp, who was DMing last night, was losing his mind. By the fifth one, he was just like, you guys, this is... You have to stop. Like, this isn't fun for me anymore. He was furious. And it's like, what, you're furious at fate? Like, what are you mad at? Like, you're so pissed.
Tell us how many players do you have on stage? So that's really cool that the audience is all participating, but how many people are actually on stage?
So we've got five people on stage. And the way that we do it is now... most players, I was the first universal swing, which just meant that I could cover all five tracks. On stage, there is a warrior player who dresses in red, a spellcaster player who dresses in blue, and a trickster player who dresses in green. Then there's also the dungeon master on stage, and then we have a fifth player called the tavern keeper that I'll talk about in a minute, and they're in black. They are, I think, one of the things that people come and see the show and go, DMs especially go, I want that. I want that at my table. And I'll tell you why. But so when we start the show, it's just warrior, spellcaster, trickster on stage. And during what we call onboarding, which is the first like 10 minutes of the show, where we like teach the room, people who don't play D&D, we're like, this is what a D20 looks like. And we have one that's like, have one in here? Nah, there's some big giant ones floating around, and I don't think I have one. I might could sprint down the hall real quick and grab an old decider if we want to see like truly the scope of these things. They're massive. They're very fun to roll. But we get those out. We like show everybody what a nat 20 might look like, what a nat 1 might look like, and then we have an audience member come up and roll a big giant die to like pass a perception check to see if they're going to take a shot of poison or ambrosia. It's apple juice and pickle juice, and then the players one by one chat with the DM for a second, and then come down, introduce themselves, and everyone who has been sorted into their cohort, when you come in, you get a sticker in your program. It's going to be red, blue, or green, and that's going to align you. You're going to be on one of those like cohorts for the show, and then you pick your character. So every player has three different characters in each cohort that they can play. So I have 9 characters that I can play, depending on the
night. Yeah, right?
Yeah. Jeez. And some of the other players, most people at this point, almost everybody in the show has 9 characters, can play every slot in the character track. And we're moving some around because when we go on tour, everybody's going to do everything. We're all going to switch around all the time. And then we pick a character. So like the warrior picks their character and it's like, all right, we've either got the barbarian or the paladin or the fighter. And then and those can be different for every player. I think we're up to 15-ish total like characters in the roster. Yeah, we have a really fun thing where like people in our Discord and our community are trying desperately to like fill in a bingo card to see like everybody wear every hat that they can wear, which is difficult because in order to see me wear every hat that I can wear, you have to come to like 10 shows right there. Like, that's 11 shows you got to come to catch me in every hat, right? It's a lot. We are blessed to have people who are coming over and over and over again. And now that we're in our last week, hey, through May 11th, everybody, come get your tickets. And we're in our last week. We got people that are just coming. We had a bunch of fans that were here for both shows yesterday. They're all here for both shows today. Like, it's just, they just keep coming back and coming back. It's great. So that's where the show starts. We pick our characters. They go off stage. And then the DM sort of introduces the world and where we're at. And he says, they say, our story begins, as most often do, with the unlikeliest of heroes. And then the three characters that have been chosen come running in and start a scene. The DM does not know what they're going to come in with. No idea what these three people are running into the tavern from, or the relationships that the three of them have decided to have today. It's different every single time. And it's so much fun as the DM. If you're back there, you just start going, uh-huh. Because they just start dropping gifts. They just start going, like, this is what we're running from. These are our interpersonal relationships. And it's like 30 seconds. And you're just scribbling down on your DM sheet as fast as you can go. Like, all right, this is where I'm going to try and take the story then. Oh, you guys are on the run from the casino? Cool. I'm going to send some knee breakers after you guys. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make you gamble later in the game because you've got a gambling problem. Like, I'm going to, yeah. Wow. So we're really, it is seat of the pants. We're flying fast and it is very different every time. Wow. I guess since I said I would talk about it, there's the fifth character on stage is the tavern. The tavern keeper has two stream decks. Steam deck is the thing that I play Bellatro on. Two stream decks. And they're covered in, they run, we have live dice cameras that we can take up and put down that are on a big giant screen behind us, which is again, like, you can't beat a room full of people going, like, because you throw a die and everybody watches it land. It is like being on an enormous nerdy craps table. Like, it is just, everybody is so pumped. So they're running dice cameras. They're also running Gameiotics. They're sending elections to everybody's phone. And because also those aren't, we have some of them scripted, but if we find a moment where we're like, okay, well, this could happen or this could happen. And I'm the DM and I go, all right, well, hey, tavern keeper, once you bring me up an AB election, all right, room, we're either going to do this or this. It's your choice. And so the room's going to decide whether we attack the person that everybody loves who's got one hit point, or the barbarian who everybody's mad at that is, you know, like, we're gonna, so we really, it's very, 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 very collaborative with the whole room. And they're on it, like, pulling up and down. They're running a computer program, they're running sound effects, and they're also running sound effects, they're also running hit points, they're also keeping track of, like, combat order. And so it's basically, it's a right hand, it's a guy in the chair for the DM. And it's awesome. And I've started at my table at home now, I've got a tavern keeper. When I DM from my, like, my people, I've just got another person behind the screen. So we're just a little DM team and I do all the role playing and they're like keeping track of stuff and Googling stuff and having ideas and zipping and zapping and zopping. And it's nice to not be so lonely behind your screen all by yourself.
That is really fascinating, and I will say that, and maybe Paul can talk about this, is that we don't see many people do that, but Paul and I semi-regularly co-DM games ourselves, not with that same separation of jobs, so maybe we should think about that, but for us, it's usually Paul's officially the referee.
Paul, you just got demoted.
he's the chief. He's the head. And I run all the bad guys. And I run all the bad guys and step in specifically. I'm here. Hello, players. My name is Daniel, and I'm here to murder you.
That's essentially what we're doing.
Yeah.
The tavern keeper is very much a referee. What we call them is a rules lawyer. Like, the referee, the final judge, the final arbiter, and they also, like, we're doing homebrew-ass nonsense off the cuff all the time, right? So it's like, when a player's just like, all right, there's chaos magic everywhere, I want to do some blood magic to absorb the chaos and turn into a dragon. And we're like, okay, well, that's not on your action card, dude. So like we're gonna, it's the tavern keeper's job to be like, okay, here's how I'd like to, we're gonna roll for this and that and add this and that. And so like let's yeah. make them essentially make up a mechanic on the fly, which is really
Having an impartial person like that, I think, is huge. That's when Dan and I play it, we call it the referee and the adversary, or sometimes just the big bad in our ultimate representation. Nice. And nice, I still, great. As referee, will still actually do some role play for anyone who's friendly or helpful, because I usually warn the players up front. I said, this is Dan. He's going to play the bad guys. You can ask him rules questions, but you shouldn't trust his answers.
He wants one to of win. Us always lies and one of us always right. tells the truth.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
This is my brother and he always lies. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, that's we're up to that. It's really nice. We also do that to the tavern keeper very often, where somebody's like, if there's a big, like a weird B plot going on or something, and a character needs to show off very often, like he'll just walk down and be like, I'm that guy that you never, you know. Or, you know, if we got a group of people, I think last night I was yesterday afternoon I was DMing and I was playing a three-headed turtle because the overarching theme was last day of summer camp. And so the big bad evil guy fight, it's like the room is full of chaos magic too, so we can transform the room into like whatever we want for like a final battle, you know, all in our heads. But I was like, all right, you're in a summer camp and this big evil like turtle cryptid emerges from the, and he had three heads. And so Stomp just ran over, grabbed a wig head bust off of like a shelf that we've got. We just got shelves and trunks and buckets of like stuff. We've got, you know, it's like Whose Line Is It Anyway, with like just boxes of props yeah. all over the place for us to like, because we're creating these pictures, and the vibe of the pictures is like a bunch of idiots pulling stuff out of their parents' closets to like play D&D with and like make believe and like LARP in their living room is the sort of like vibe of our costumes and set. And he went and grabbed one, and then he came down, he's quite bald, and he put this just like white head on one side of me and then his head on the other, and then bam, we were a three-headed turtle. And we just...
I think you're implicitly answering the question that I wanted to ask, but I might as well say it out loud. So it sounds like,
yeah.
Is there any preconceived like arc of the narrative, a quest line or anything? Or are you really coming in just totally bald faced, like no idea what's going to happen in this session? It might be 100% different from yesterday.
If we were doing it with less tech, like if we were just doing it with sound effects and like a big empty screen that just had like a map or something on it behind us, and we could just absolutely make it up. It would be harder, but what we've essentially got is a D&D improv form where we like, so we have, it is a quest. The current one we're running is called The Tomb of Havoc. And I've been with the show for 5 years. We did a steampunk one where the like game mechanic was hit points. You had to survive with enough hit points to like feed your life essence into a machine to overload it. And then we did one a couple years ago when we were in Chicago where we were like, it was like a priest that came and needed our help. And we went to a temple and we were like doing a ritual in a temple. This one, it's called The Tomb of Havoc, and it happens in, we're in Waterdeep, right? Because we're the official, we got the IP now, baby, so we can do whatever we want. So every once in a while, if somebody will just run in and be like, freaking Xanathar wants to kill us, and the DM's like, okay, well, I hope everybody's a true nerd in the room, because like now we've invoked, like, you can do it. You know, we've also had people just like, the audience's name and NPCs, right? So if somebody's just like, Vecna, you're like, okay, I guess Vecna's running this general store. Okay. And like, now we've got to deal with that. You're Vecna? Yeah, no relation. Anyway, you want some spices?
Does everything cost an arm and a leg?
Yeah! All right, Paul, you can come play. You're in. That joke is essentially our show. Like, that's essentially the show that you're coming to see. It's like that joke over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah, so it's like every time three idiots run into a tavern, it always starts in the Curious Hedgehog in our like tavern, and the sort of joke is that the Curious Hedgehog is like a like almost like a Buffalo Wild Wings in Faerun. It's like everywhere. So when we've done supplemental adventures and stuff, and like live streams and like digital shows and stuff, but it's always the Curious Hedgehog. It doesn't matter what city we're in, we're going to the Curious Hedgehog. And they hang out, and we like meet the characters, and they interact with the bartender a minute, and then there's always a call to adventure. So in our show, it's a wizard busts in, and he goes, "Help, help, help. There's a great evil looming. I need your help. Come find my house. And I'll tell you more about it there." And so like, and then you have to go see his house, and then you have to go find magical items, and then there's a twist, and then you have to go underground. You're essentially on a fetch quest. You're going through rooms, yeah, but yeah. To really crunchily answer your question, we use, do you guys know what Twine is? Twine is a computer program that you use to build. It's like choose your own adventure. Fan fiction is what it was built for. And it's really neat. You essentially build a show that's a gigantic flowchart, and you can add in conditions and failures. And if so many people fail so many times, this will trigger and happen. So if you look at the show, like the bones of the show, it would take a huge like sheet to print it out, because at one point when you like make a decision, it splits into like 14 different pathways that you can go down, depending on like how successful you've been up to that point, and which like ward you choose to go into, and if people are passing perception checks to like notice things about certain buildings, and it just fractures and fractures and fractures and fractures. So it really is super different all the time. And like, you have to get 6 magical items to do a ritual, and I think we have like 60 magical items that you can find in all over Waterdeep, and depending on the combination of those, and if the audience remembers the correct order to use them in like a ritual at the end, you either fail, partially fail, neutral, partial success, or full success. Like, and those outcomes also affect the next day's show. They affect the starting conditions of the next show. So if we have
really,
if they beef it, yeah, it's cool, right? So if like, if we screw up, if we get all bad items and the bad guy wins and the wizard dies and everything goes to shit, then the next day, all conditions are set to hard. Like the world is bad that we come back to the next day.
That.
So like,
I love
every
that.
Check yeah. is tougher. It's really cool. Right. So it's like, it's this weird thing where we're running one shot over and over again, but we are kind of in a weird time loop, and you can get obsessed with these characters, and everybody plays the characters differently. And like, I can play my characters differently in an afternoon and an evening show based on whether or not it's a good world or a bad world or a medium world. Right. If I'm a bard and I'm in a bad world, then, you know, maybe I've been using my powers for evil. Maybe I've been playing songs to scam old folks. I don't know. And like, you know, and like, so that everything is really changing all the time. It's a very strange exercise in Dungeons and Dragons, right? Because most of the time when you play a campaign for a long time, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Ours stays the exact same, right? Your world expands constantly. You're meeting more people and you're going to new places. But this is, bam, it's always this box. But the box changes wildly all the time. It's Schrodinger's D&D. Yeah, it's nuts in there.
Awesome. I'm surprised and impressed by how much improvisation you managed to inject in there. Because I would think with the technical overhead necessary of a big theater like that with a lot of digital stuff, I would think that would put a lot more constraints that it sounds like you have. I would not have guessed that you start off with improvisational stuff right off the bat.
We had a significant amount of technical turnover at the beginning of the show, because there were a lot of like theater tech people that were like, I hate this. I want the show to be the same every time. Yeah. I work on Broadway and I want to hit the same button in the same time every night. I want to like do a tight show. It's just not that. Like our stage manager, like there's a, we also have in the second half of the show, the chaos magic gets so powerful that we start rolling on a chaos chart. So we've got a D100 with 100 different chaos like options, contingencies, and one of them is electric company at which blackouts occur for the rest of the show, and those are just controlled by stage management. So now stage management is listening to the show, waiting for appropriate moments for them to just go boom and knock out all the lights in the theater and then bring them back up, and we have to anticipate that and then know what's going on, and then find it's usually a great time for like a kiss that people have been waiting to happen for it to be happening when the lights come back up. Or sometimes, if you're real sneaky, you just disappear in the darkness. Like you just dive off stage or like under something or behind something. Yes, yes. Your ass is just gone. And now they're like, yes. where did he go? And you can come back whenever you want. And it's, you know, it's, but like the stage management has to like anticipate calling cues in a way that they've got it. So in Twine, we have, and this is like the, it's tough. Like it's a hard thing to learn how to do, right? Like it's, you can't, I know Dan, you auditioned for the show. And
I know once or twice. Yep.
And we, Paul and I said before, we weren't going to give you too much crap about not making it. But we had, I think when the submissions went out, the notice went out, I think we had something like between like 6,000 and 8,000 submissions, because everybody was like, heck yeah, I want to be in the D&D show. But like, it's not just playing Dungeons and Dragons at a table. It's like, you have to be technically proficient in improv, and like, we're like the weirdest quintuple threats. You have to be able to like host a room and work a room like a stand-up comedian, because we're breaking the fourth wall's gone. We're just talking to the audience all the time. And you have to be able to deal with the room like a rowdy room sometime. We had a child that would not shut up yesterday. And like, you have to navigate that. You just yell at an 8-year-old. You have to like, we have to shut down, and people also party. So we get people that like, you know, there's like a Ren Faire vibe to it. So we have to navigate that. And then you also have to be able to improvise, like on a like very high improv level. You also have to be able to like pay attention to like technical and like have a connect to the stage management. And like, we all have to, like, we have a very intense check-in before the show starts every day, where we all spend 10 minutes like sitting in a circle going like, all right, where are we all at? Who's everywhere? Where are we? Okay. What's going on?
Great.
Who have we got today? Yeah. What's our energy? What's our vibe? So that we can all sort of lock in, because it is seven people all like making calls and going left and going right and zigging and zagging all the time. There is, like I said, like, so if you're DMing, you can't get too caught up in your role play, because you have to say a word that triggers an effect to get you out of a room. But you don't always have to do the same thing to get to that word. You can be a different, your NPC can be a different NPC. You just have to make sure you get to, hey, either you guys are successful in a thing and you get an item and you're good, or you screw up and the room blows up and I have to have a reason to say this word that triggers the explosion effect. So it's like you're improving and writing at the same time. And then also we're running around and like, so there's some technical, like, we do have stunts. We have stunt calls and stuff where we, like, practice just, like, cheerleading moves. And we build, like, pyramids and, like, throw each other around. And, yeah, it's a really weird. And then, also, you have to be good at Dungeons & Dragons. You have to, like, understand what role-playing is. And you have to understand, like, but that's teachable. And, like, I think, much like everybody in the world started a podcast 10 years ago, because they're, like, me and my friends are so funny when we're sitting around. It's like, our table is so awesome, and it's really easy to forget that a lot of times, the things that you think are really, really funny at your table are inside jokes. It's inside baseball, and it's very different to, like, bring a whole room together and, like, you know, and play and actual play is a lot harder than pointing a camera at your D&D table.
I gotta say,
I'm just wired and then chalking. I hope I'm answering questions.
I gotta say, from my, you know, the opportunity of me getting to audition live for it myself about a year ago, one of the most exciting things I have ever done. I go to some auditions, not a ton, once in a while. And when I tell my friends that are in theater here in New York about the size and the extent of those auditions for TST, and I was, you know, I dropped in and I was meeting people that had just flown in from LA that day or flown in from Seattle for these auditions, and the extent of them, my friends are just agog at the sophistication and the enormous number of people in the pool that they were looking at. And also when I tell them that you guys are at stage 42, I think the number one response I get is people saying, that's not really off Broadway. That's a huge theater, and that should really count as that's a Broadway
barely
show,
off Broadway.
Really.
And the touring houses that we're looking at going to are massive. It's going to be wild to be in 1,500 seat rooms.
So,
Brennan Lee Mulligan sold out Madison Square Garden. Man, like you can do this in a really, really, really big room.
Amazing. And again, to our viewers, right, we're catching Alex here with 20 Sided Tavern in as they're going into the last week here in New York, as they're ending a year-long run here. So if you're in New York or visiting this week, I would encourage you to get tickets. It's an amazing experience. Catch them here. And then after that, look for 20 Sided Tavern touring nationally. And at least on the website, I see that they're going to be booked at the Kennedy Center in D.C.
Kennedy Center tickets are on sale. Please come down and be weird and queer and countercultural with us, right? And all these turds' faces. We're going to go down there and we're going to absolutely be nerds right at these bastards. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think that, like, the community down there is going to really appreciate having a chance to get together and, like, essentially protest D&D, which is going to be great. Stay tuned on all of our socials for cast announcements and tour dates. We may or may not be looking at things that are subject to change, but like Roots look really cool. Like we're going the show is going all over the place. Most people are going to be within a couple hours of the show at some point in the next calendar year. It's going to be all over the place. And I think we've announced as well I think there's one theater at the end of our run. There's a theater in Charlotte that's already announced that we're coming there too. So I can promote that. But Kennedy Center tickets are on sale. So please, come buy those, come hang out and get rowdy with us. It's going to be, they're also selling fast. So yeah,
that is great to hear. Thank you for saying that, Alex. That for me, that really warms my shriveled little white guy, lich like heart. So I thank you for saying that that's the plan going forward. That is great.
Yeah. And like, well, and to go back a second, we're talking about the scope of when I said to like the numbers of people who came and like, we had people that have been guest stars on the show that are Dungeons and Dragons luminaries, right? I've also gotten to meet a lot of really incredible people, in the last, I mean, I'm friends with, and colleagues with Abria Iyengar now, and with Eric Ishii, and Ify Nwadaway, and Jack Lepiarz, and all the rest of them. But it's hard for me to play Baldur's Gate now because I know all these people that I'm trying to romance, and I can't get with Karlach anymore because I know Sam Bayart, and she's really lovely. And so it's hard when I'm like, oh, you're on fire and hot. What's up? It's been cool. It's been really cool. But a lot of those people, some of those people submitted for the audition. Like they submitted to be in the show and didn't get called in because they didn't have any stage experience. And like, it was only like later when it was like, all right, we know we can bring people in and sort of teach you how to do this thing on stage. Cause again, we're not sitting down playing Dungeons and Dragons. We just ring ourselves out after a show. Like we're running and jumping and spinning we're sweating and you know, all love to the Dimension 20 crew, but like they sitting at a table, you know what I mean? Like, and like we're really, and we've had, again, we've had enough of them come in now and do this when they're all like, okay, yeah, had to get, it was Felicia Day was our first guest star, and she put the word out. She was like, stretch. Like before you show up, they're gonna work y'all out.
That's amazing.
Wow,
but amazing. Yeah, man. So like again, like if you like, no shame. And it's been I think that I'm in the show now because I got in right place, right time 5 years ago. I submitted to a workshop that I imagine I was one of 30 people that submitted to like a 2-weekend paid Zoom workshop to like. Where like we got on a call and we all looked at each other and went, okay, what if interactive D&D, what that look like? And we started, you know, messing around with it. And it's been an incredible ride to like start there. And then they did the show in like what is used to be the Asylum, which used to be the old UCB under the Gristedes in Chelsea, which is now a condo basement, RIP. Yep. And then the show was done at the Philly Fringe. And at that point I was still involved with the show, but I wasn't on stage. And, we were doing it with like stuff we bought at Party City and folding tables and like a pull down like projector. And then things just started happening. We went and did it in Pittsburgh, at the Pacific, Pittsburgh Light Opera, PCLO, Pittsburgh, whatever, at the Pittsburgh Light Opera Company. Yes. PLOC. Yeah, that's the one. And we loved them. They were great. They were great. And I'm really excited to maybe go back to Pittsburgh, he says, not revealing anything.
Yep.
And that was amazing. But all of a sudden, that was, we had this, like, we thought, that, I remember walking into that room and going, wow, there's a 250-seat cabaret theater, and there's big screens, and there's, like, a light. And now we look back at that and just go like, that was wild. Also, that the show is extremely punk rock and we still drank a whole lot on stage. There was a night in Pittsburgh when I was like, I'm probably too drunk to be in front of people right now. There were people sitting at tables next to us and people just buying me beers, handing them to me while I was playing Dungeons and Dragons in front of people.
Wow.
Yeah, it was rowdy. And then from there, we went and did like a full scale production in Chicago. And it just had to. And then we got licensed. And then we started doing this one. And now, like, we have to behave, which is good. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's a thing. There are insurance policies now. We've had to stop doing a bunch of things. The show used to be very wet. We used to throw water at each other and, like, spit water at each other a lot because it's funny. If you cast like a poison spray and you just like spit in your friend's face on stage, like it's pretty funny. Like you just go like, all right, and just spit all over your friend. But we were breaking $400 mics and they were like, okay, can't do that anymore.
Right.
Stop it. Yeah. So we have to like think like, you know, like a technical, we can't behave like we're in the basement of a Gristedes anymore. You got to grow up.
Hey, out of curiosity, you say you've been doing this now for 5 years. So I suspect you might have the same answer to this as I do when folks ask about working in the video game industry. Do you still play D&D or is it too much like work?
Oh, no. Hell yeah. I love Dungeons and Dragons. It's the best.
Yeah.
Especially, man, when we were. Well, I also like it's the rare time when you get to play and not record it. It really is yeah. Great. Like really, you're just like, oh, thank goodness. Like, we have two. We also have a podcast, a companion podcast, that I produce and host called Alan Well Met. It's available wherever fine podcasts are found. And we did 2 episodes of a game called For the Queen. If you're familiar, which is just a card play, like prompt game, pure role play. It's very very fun. It's Abria's favorite game, and we played it with her. But we played it twice with like. With microphones on. And then we like we're hanging out and we're like, hey, do we all on our day off want to get together and then just play this for like maybe a nice full 4-hour game with no microphones and we'll just get in a room and tell a weird story to ourselves? Hell yeah, we want to do that. And so we did that and it was great.
What
it was very, very fun.
Timing, What is the running time of the show? Do you find it difficult to cram the entire game into the context of, you know,
however long? Ooh, Paul, you've hit on the hardest thing that there is to do in this show. We've got clocks all over the damn stage, and it's still hard. We've got them hidden everywhere, and we're just like, you just look down and you just be like, oh god, we've got 20 minutes. We've got absolutely 20 minutes of show left in the first act, and I've only got 8 minutes left to do it in. You can tell when the, like, all of a sudden the DM's like, and you walk into a tailor shop, and there's a tailor, and his name is what? Steve. Steve says, what's up? What do you guys want? And the character's like, we need a magical item. And Steve's like, cool, roll a dice. And, like, just all of a sudden, it's, we're not, nobody cares who Steve's dad is. Nobody cares. Yeah, we're not trying to hit on anybody. It's just like, nah, we got to get out of here. And sometimes they're better and harder than others. And we have, yeah, it's a chore. It's a hard thing to do. And I tell you what, we've never had a problem with it being too short. especially the more and more improv-y the show gets, because it used to be tighter, and we've really, really loosened a lot up. And we used to think that a lot of these technical aspects were tent poles, and especially the guest stars just started coming in, and like, Felicia Day doesn't care if she's supposed to do something. So she just started kicking over tent poles. She just started going like, I don't know, what if I kill this NPC? What if I just murder him in his carpenter shop? And we were all kind of like, I don't know if you can do that. And she was like, I didn't ask if I could do it. I cast fireball. Like, you know, she's just like, I don't care. And you're like, okay, Felicia Day from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, I guess roll for fireball in this dude's shop full of wood. And, like, she burned him and then just, like, took something from him and was like, and we were all like, oh, cool, you can do that. Great. This is the thing we can do now.
Yeah.
We keep finding that things are everything is we can find our way through things. And as it gets more and 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 more improv-y, also the twine, right? We used to have all this base text in the script, and, like, we just keep cutting it out. We're like, we don't need this. We can improvise. And also, you got 9 people now who we've been doing this show together for a year and may or may not be going on tour. Announcements to follow. And like, we're all, it is getting weird how locked into each other's minds we are. Like, we're an improv troupe and a D&D troupe, and like, the mind meld gets wild. And that's also like when we're checking in before a show, we'll play an improv game. We'll warm up with like a word game or something and just get the juices flowing. And it doesn't stop when we're sitting at the bar late at night. Like, we have a game that Diego F. Salinas started. It's just called Portmanteau, and it's literally, you make up a portmanteau. It's like, you'll say, oh god, this is Jasmine. This is, I'm stealing this from Jasmine Molive. Shape-shifting trunk serves fast food hamburgers. And someone will go, oh, Mimicky D's. And that's the game. It's just like you, like, saying those things and somebody trying to get to Mimicky D's from it. And like that, we'll just sit around. We will do that for hours. Like, constantly. Just people, so, or someone will run into the room and just like yell a thing, and we'll all turn around and be like, oh, and like, it's a race to get there first. Like, we're so, like, our brains are so switched on, and we play with each other so constantly that, like, yeah, everybody knows where the scene's going a lot of the time when we're improvising on stage. And that is so joyful and wonderful that we don't want to stop a lot of the time. And that becomes a time problem for sure. We, like, it's one of the DM and TK's big jobs to be like, shut up and leave this store. You have to go to another place. Nobody cares. Yes, you're all in love. Great. Shut up. Go out of here. There's a world ending horror. Go stop the demons. If no one stopped us, the show would be 4 hours every night. And I think the audience would love it, and we would love it, but the people who run theaters and employ people that get overtime are like, we will kill you. Like, please be quiet. Fascinating. Yeah. So it's a challenge. Yeah.
And how many shows a week?
Eight.
How many shows a week?
There are eight.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. Very rarely does anyone do eight shows a week. It's too many. You'll die.
Okay.
We've had for like you can't. It is unsustainable. But it's been along with all the guests, people coming in and rehearsals and stuff. We're all very. It's been an exhausting end run here, but also wonderful, and very very fun. But like also when you do it, because scheduling and whatever, you get real locked in, right? When you've done 14 shows in 10, 11 days, all of a sudden you're just like, I think I am Barry Von Gobblentooth. Like, I think I live in Waterdeep. Like, you just don't care anymore. You're just there. And so, like, the role play of it all and the decision making becomes very quick and very fast. And you're just like, yeah, I'll just behave the way Barry behaves. you just live it.
Fascinating. Let me throw up a question from one of our viewers here, kind of closer to the start of the hour here. So there's someone in the chat, apparently named Isabel Garbani Acting, I see here. Perhaps they're in Brooklyn close by. I don't know. Asking, are there a lot, based on your impression, Alex, are there a lot of people who are first-time players in the audience? What's your impression about like percentage of people that know D&D versus you have to introduce them in your audiences?
So we ask at the top of the show, we go, anybody in here that has never played Dungeons and Dragons before? And we're like, and hands will go up and we're like, welcome. We love you. Welcome. We got you. We're going to explain everything. Don't think too hard. High numbers good, low numbers bad. When we start doing addition, don't worry about it too much. You don't need to know what a subclass is to have a good time at this show. It is an improv show. And we have a lot of parents who bring their kids. And it's a really wonderful thing. We get a lot that really, really warms my heart. We get a whole lot of parents that come up to us and go, thank you so much. I understand why my kids love this so much now. I didn't understand. I'm like, now I get it. I see what's in their heads when they're in the basement being weirdos, which is great because I don't know about y'all, but when I was a kid, my parents thought I was in the basement worshiping the devil. And I was just trying to... Just trying to save Greyhawk, dang it.
Thank you.
And, right? Come on.
Yes.
And so it's really, really wonderful. We have a lot of people that are like, thank you so much. Or like, people bring their partners and like, they don't know what's going on. And also, we have people that just wander in. It's a perfect show for like the ticket flyer places. So like TKTS and then like Todaytix and stuff. Send a lot of people our way because they're like when they're discounted, it's pretty cheap for like a big budget Broadway show. So, and we also do two matinees at 2 o'clock on Saturdays and Sundays. So that's also a really good early spot for you to see shows because a lot of shows just do a 4 o'clock matinee. So you can come see this show and then go see another show at night, right? And it's easier. So we have a lot of people just wander in and it's my God, a Yankees game rained out one time. And I looked up and I was like, why the hell are there so many people in this room wearing Yankees pinstripes? And I started talking to them and they were like, yeah, the game got rained out. So I guess we came here because it was cheap or whatever. And they'd flown in or driven in. And it was like 15 of them, like groups of like all groups of two. And it was one of those things where it's just like, you see one and you're like, okay, cool. And you see two. And then all of a sudden you're like, what is happening? And you start talking to them and they were all like, I don't know what is a dragon is. And you're like, hold on, buddy, you know what a dragon is. And they're like, okay, I know what a dragon is. You know what a sword is. And they're like, yeah, I know what a sword is. And I was like, okay, you know what gambling is. And they're like, yeah, we know what gambling is. And I was like, okay. Sword gambling. That's welcome to the show. And they're like, oh, okay, great. Let's play dragon craps. Like it's just, it's nerd. It's nonsense. And they had a blast. And so we really, 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 really enjoy like bringing people from outside of the hobby in. And it's a problem because like you see Dungeons and Dragons and it's the official show. And there is a sort of like, I think a barrier there for a lot of people. And that's, we keep really pushing. It's like, You do not need to know. We've got your back is a thing that Diego brought to us from Drunk Shakespeare Chicago. And it's the thing we say to each other all the time. It's the thing we say to the audience all the time. It's like, we've got you. We've got you. We'll bring you in. Like, we, nobody, no man left behind. We want everybody to have fun. And also, like, you guys know this. Like, D&D, it's all mostly, it's wiener jokes. Come on now. And, like, if, like, this is all an excuse for orc-flavored ding-dong humor. And, like, yeah, and, like, you're good. We did, again, yesterday we did, last day at summer camp was the meet the party scene, and I was laughing so hard, and that became the thing. And then somebody put somebody's hand in some warm water, and there was so many pee-pee pants jokes, just a lot. And, like, and the 11-year-old birthday party that was in the second row was loving it. Yeah, so we actually get quite a few people who are interested or don't know. And percentage-wise, to answer your question, it's low. Like, it's 15% of the room tops is, you know, on a normal day is going to not know what's going on. And also, we wander around, the players wander around, and we all wander around in the house for half an hour before the show starts. So we get a chance to talk to people and to look at people and be like, hey, do you play D&D? And you can clock people, right? If there's a tiefling sitting there, you'd be like, hey, so you've played Dungeons and Dragons before, right? And they're like, yeah. Yeah, man. But if there's like, if there's a dad, these are my favorites, man. These are my people because I look like a vacation dad. I see dad there with his like Philadelphia Eagles hat on with his four nerd kids. And I'm like, all right, buddy, what's up? I'll make friends with you. I'm going to get you into this. My goal now is for you to have fun here because you clearly have taken your, you know, you've taken your kids out. You're being a good dad, but I want you to have a great day. I think about my father. My father took me to see, we waited in line in the rain to see the 1990s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie when I was 7. And I can't imagine my father who, you know, grew up in the, you know, no real zeitgeist awareness of what a Ninja Turtle was. Just being like, okay, all right, we're going to see this thing. And I've talked to him about this later too. We walked out and he was like, it was pretty fun, you know, like it cowabunga, man. Like he had like a good time because it's, you know, because it's a funny movie. And like the tropes are there. We all understand, you know, you letting your mentor down. We get it. So like, you know, there's enough of the show there that like all we're doing is using, there's like what? There's like 8 stories is the thing, right? Like we're just telling, you know, some people are in love or some people are sad or some people are mad at their dad or somebody wants to, you know, somebody accidentally bangs their mom, whatever it is. Like there's only a couple stories. We don't tell that one. We don't do Oedipus a lot.
Certainly not in the matinees, I guess, right?
No, not in the matinees for sure. We've gotten on games before we really do where like everybody will lock in and go, oh, we're just doing Odysseus? Okay, fun. And we're going to like make everything a reference or like make everything, we're like doing Star Wars or whatever. Like we're just doing a like big trope thing and we can really lean into it. It's a good time.
I got to ask, like for someone that is an expert D&D player with kind of deep knowledge, like I'm just imagining maybe someone like myself in a performance in the audience, if someone stands up and goes, hey, that is not the right wrestling mechanic.
Sit down. Not in your basement. Calm down. It's a game. We're having fun.
Do you get that? Barely.
What's your name? Dan? Dan, do you need a hug? Drink some water, sir.
I do. Yeah,
this is okay. This is a comedy show, Dan. Daniel, would your mother like it that you're interrupting the whole show for everybody, sir?
No.
Have a Sour Patch Kid. He can rage whenever he wants. I don't care if it's a bonus action or not.
Wow, you are well prepared for the heck of it. Wow, that is impressive.
Well, this is honestly to not be a dick. It's like you can. That's one tact. It's like this is where the like stand up. I did stand up comedy for 10 years. And so this is where the like stand-up comedian of it all comes in.
I think that's one of the hardest things to do. Yeah. Yep. Great.
But I don't anymore because I've done it because I've been in a room because I've done stand up to six people, three of whom were drunk in a like at 6:30 on a Tuesday in Astoria, and I don't care. Like I'm just, you can't freak me out. Like you're gonna come at me with whatever, and I'm gonna deal with it. And I'm pretty good at taking the energy and like just throwing it back at you and making you go, okay, sorry. Like and like we do have some rules, lawyers, nerd stuff. And the easiest way to deal with that if somebody gets really rowdy is we're like, homebrew, man. Like we just homebrewed it. Like one of the big ones is you have to roll for Magic Missile in our show, and people are like, what? And we're like, we have to have some narrative stakes here, guys. Like we have to. It has to make sense. And then there's some other things where like, oh, I don't know. We mess around with enlarge and reduce a lot because like really like because the show doesn't combat doesn't work in our show like actual D&D combat works. It's all based on success and failure rather than like actual like because you can you imagine trying to have a D&D combat which three people versus three people and do it in five to 10 minutes. There's no way. Yeah, like it just would take forever. So usually it's basically it's like you can I mean we can also do it, man. Sometimes people get pissed and just use their nukes in combat tutorial and like we've got a character with Melf's minute meteors who can just absolutely just wipe the floor with or the way that Spirit Guardians works in the show is also can just like knock out a bunch of people. And we have some characters that are nukier than others, and we also have some characters that like we have a rogue character named Katya, who's a cat, or she's a tabaxi rogue, and she's like straight up rogue build, and she has four action cards. She's got like claw attack, whip attack, sneak attack, short bow. That's it. Like, so she's got ranged and close up and then a sneak attack. And so people playing her get real creative. On the other hand, we have a guy who's been in the show forever that there was much finagling with Hasbro to get this guy in because he's an undead wizard sorcerer and he's a abjuration sorcerer. I think that's right. Is abjuration where you just blast fireballs and I'm like, this is one of my weaknesses. Evocation. He's evocation. It's evocation. Absolutely. He's an evocation sorcerer, and he's just a glass cannon, man. I mean, he's a skeleton, and his AC is like 11, and he has like 30 hit points. Like he can just get ended. But he also has, I mean, a spell book essentially, right? Like he's a wizard. Excuse me, he's not a sorcerer. And so his stack of cards is massive. So when you hand like a guest star, you like here, this is a rogue, and there are four things that they do: get creative and weird. Or it's like here, you have 2 days to learn these 40 cards. Go nuts, and they're all over the place. So yeah, you some of them are like just lifted right from the D&D spells, and then but a lot of them have been homebrewed and retooled and messed with and. And we do a lot of that on the fly, and a lot of that is also the tavern keeper going, like, the referee character going, like, all right, this is going to happen, but it's going to, you know what, if you cast Fireball in this alley, it's going to hit everybody, so do it if you want. And yeah, some of them are...
I think that sounds great.
Melf's is, I think, the gnarliest spell anybody's got in their library, because it's, I think it's, like, 12d6 damage or something on a success. It's huge.
Yeah.
Everybody's sixth level that we start at. And if you succeed enough, you can level up during act two and into seventh level.
Nice. That's kind of the sweet spot. That makes sense. That's awesome.
Yeah. I think that's the most fun place to D&D play myself. Like, I think you start getting up to like, there's a really good TikTok I saw the other day. I think Zach the Bold did about like level 20 fights. They're just not fun. Like it's just too much. You're a god.
And that's been true for us.
We are just about out of time here, so I just wanted to make sure, is there anything about the show that you wanted to make sure you get out there to the viewers?
Please, we're in stage 42 through May 11th. We've got one last week of shows starting tomorrow. They're going to be nuts. We're flipping and flopping everywhere. It's just this crazy hydra of improv quintuple threat weirdos throwing madness at you for this next week of shows, 8, 9, 10 more, including today. And it's been a dream. Thanks for everybody who's come. Also, check out Ale and Well Met. It's our podcast. And follow us on socials just at 20 Sided Tavern. And then we also have a Discord, the 20 Sided Tavern, that I moderate. Come hang out. It's very, very fun in there. We have a good time. And that's the best place. That's where you're going to get info about tours and dates and things like that before anybody else. Also, I host a podcast called Child's Play, where a friend of mine listened to the entire Kidz Bop discography and then recorded our own versions of actually kid-friendly songs. It's funny. You can find that anywhere.
Fantastic.
Well, self-promo.
So, viewers, look for Alex and 20 Sided Tavern at all those sites. Look for upcoming shows, of course. Leave a comment in show here on YouTube. There you go. And of course, remember that you can follow, and subscribe to us, the Wandering DMs. We are on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, TikTok, Loops, GitHub. We have the handle Wandering DMs on all those sites. So please look for us there and break the legs on that like button.
If you prefer to listen to our show in audio-only format, you can find our podcasts on our website at wanderingdms.com and all fine podcast carriers such as iTunes, Spotify, Podcast, any of those places. If you're listening to the show right now from one of those sites and it gives the ability to do so, please rate and review the show. That helps other users find us, and we really appreciate it.
We really do. And of course, big thanks to our patrons who support the show here. If you'd like to join them, please visit patreon.com/wanderingdms. And like Paul said earlier, every tier gets you access to our private Discord server where the conversation can use 24/7. And we'll be there to continue the conversation with a live video after chat in about 10 minutes. Huge thanks to Alex for joining us. I think this is just a wonderful insight to what it's like to do live D&D theater. Hope you have great success in this last week. And I hope that our viewers get tickets in this last week in New York or the national tour that's coming up. And they can see, again, the dates on 20sidedtavern.com and other places. Thank you, Alex, so much.
Thanks, guys, for having me. This has been a blast. Appreciate it.
Fantastic. Viewers, don't forget, we are live every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So please join us again next week for another thought-provoking discussion.
We'll see you then.